You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Next break, I'm going to give you certain years that are significant in my life. Really, no other. I can't think of anything else. That what the number one hit was on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve of that particular year. We'll look it up and we'll play those coming back. All right.
Love it. All right, let's do it.
Love it. All right, we'll figure it out. Let's just to get something. What was the hit? What was the song playing at your party or in the club? Back, we'll do, I don't know, the year I was born, the year I graduated high school. We'll figure something out. All right, so we had to talk. It is obviously New Year's Eve. Hello, everyone. How are you? Chris McMonagle here with you. 4 o'clock on the fan. Nico, that was him on the other side. He's helping out with us as we take you till 7 o'clock here today on New Year's Eve and get you ready for your big night. Big night of pigs in a blanket. Big night of a little champagne. I think I'm going to stay away from the martinis. I think it's just a casual evening for the big guy. But on this New Year's Eve and into New Year's Day, I did want to talk about two things in particular, but a couple things maybe. If you have any, feel free to call me up at 888-808-1019. Things that need to go away or things that need to change in 2026. Two in particular that are bugging me right now. So let's do that. One, first off, just immediately, and I know this is, you know, I don't know, everyone seems to be impacted by it. It needs to go away is the 6-7. I have never been this 6-7 thing with the kids. It is so outrageous that it is still as prominent as it is in my life. You can't say the numbers 6 or 7 without it. If you were to Google, my wife showed me this today. Let me just make sure. If you just Google 6-7 or if you just Google 6-7, your phone, the screen shakes up and down like as if it's doing the hands. What the hell is that? It's just do yourself a favor on your phone. Obviously, not if you're driving. But if you have access to your phone right now as you're listening, just Google 6-7. Just Google 67. And when you hit it, your phone will go up and down. This is now too much. Too much. It's every second of every day I'm getting asked ridiculous questions like about, you know, numbers. They're asking me to add up numbers that get to 67. Dad, what is 33 plus 34? What is blah, blah, blah? I'm like, and then 6-7. And then when they're together with groups of kids, they get together for Christmas at my in-law's house and the cousins are all 6-7 screaming it at the top of their lungs. There have been trends. There have been things that the kids have done that have annoyed me, or I've talked about it after the Minecraft movie, the lava chicken, lava chicken, singing the lava chicken song, or other songs that have come up, or just them as like little kids. Like when they were little babies in the back of the car and they would cry, we would have to play the Mickey Mouse hot dog song. Hot dog, hot diggity dog. There was that song, like, and that would be the only thing that would stop them from crying in the back seat. There have been things like that through the time of being a parent. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. There have been things that have been annoying or overdone, like, but nothing, and I mean nothing, has reached the levels of this 6-7 crap. It needs to end. That needs to be buried in a 2025 time capsule and put away for the next 25 years. I don't know how we stop it. I don't know what we have to do. It's moving on to other numbers. I've heard 41. I've heard 87. This needs to stop. It is obnoxious, and they scream it, and they yell it, and it is now, it's even on, you can Google it, and Google will do it for you. Jackson Dart and other NFL players are doing it. It needs to stop. Because I remember my wife, I was part of the problem. For Halloween, you know, she wants them to do something where it's like a tandem, or like the two of them are together on it, whatever. For Halloween, dress up in, it doesn't have to be the same costume. In fact, not the same costume, but part of a group. You know, their first one together, I think, was Sully and Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc., you know, things like that. And I came up with the brilliant idea. I was like, how about 6-7? One of them is 6 and one of them is 7. That was another time. Same as when I told my wife we should get married on Thanksgiving Eve to save money. She gave me the stare of like death, like absolutely not. They're not going as 6-7. One, this thing is stupid. And two, when they're separated at school, Andrew will just be 6. I'm like, I understand that. But when they're together, they're 6-7. Like, I thought it would have been fun. And I remember my wife looking at me, well, no, I don't want to do that because who knows? Like, this is like a month before Halloween as we're really thinking about their costume. She's like, you know, with the kids and their fads, this thing will probably be over by Halloween and they won't want to be 6-7. Little did we know that not only would it make Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, there is no end in sight. There is no end in sight. I could see them literally holding, Valentine's Day cards, 6-7. Easter baskets. There's no end in sight to the 6-7 stuff, and it needs to end. It's killing me. It's driving me insane. Out of nowhere. We were in the car the other day. We're driving. All of a sudden, they just screamed. And I'm like, what? Oh, look, Dad, 6:07. It was 6:07 on the clock. I was like, ugh. Just out of nowhere in the middle of me driving, just started screaming 6-7. I was like, what? Yo, keep it quiet down there. I'm like, what, 6-7, what? And they're 6:07. I'm like, oh, my God. Needs to end. Now, real stuff that needs to end. They need to figure out a way to end tanking. Right? I opened the show with it. The NFL needs to put an end to this. It's enough now. It truly is. Right, especially right. Someone just referenced it earlier. The biggest one in recent memory was the Eagles, in that game against Washington. Kind of was the end of Doug Peterson's career in Philadelphia. That's what really got him fired. That whole game. But now you see the Raiders and pissing off teams. The NFL need, and I'm sorry, they do have a problem. And I know it's only a couple games at the end of the year. It's not like basketball where you're worried about, you know, them doing it for long stretches of a season or whatever. It's only a couple of games. But no fan should ever be put in the position that the Giant fans are put in over these last 2 weeks where there is no question. I'm sorry. It's very hard to make a distinction for me that you're not rooting against your team. They have to. NFL seriously needs to consider doing something where no NFL fan to this degree would have to root for their team to lose the way I'm going to be rooting for my team to lose to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. Something needs to be done. Now, I've talked about this. Obviously, the lottery is the easiest method. I still think I would be rooting for a loss on some level for ping pong balls. It would not be as strong as this. It wouldn't be as black and white as if they win and these teams lose, they could move from 2-7. It wouldn't be as clear. So I wouldn't feel as strongly about it, obviously. But I still don't necessarily think it's the greatest of answers. Someone either called me up or sent me something, but I think it's the Women's Hockey League does a point system, which I think is actually really smart. They do where as soon as you're eliminated from the postseason, so the Giants would have been the first team to be able to do this this year. They were the first team eliminated. The second you're eliminated from playoff contention, every game from that point on, you start accruing points for the draft. And the team with the most points gets the first pick, second most gets the second pick, so on and so forth. And you acquire points by winning or scoring points or point differential or touchdowns or whatever. You come up with a circumstance, turnovers. Like you can get points forever. You come up with the system. It doesn't have to be just wins, but it has to be positive. Wins would get you so many points. Points would get you so many points. Every touchdown would get you so many points. Every interception. I know the Jets haven't had one this year. Whatever. You start accruing points, and it still benefits the worst teams because those teams get to start accruing points earlier. The faster you're eliminated from the playoffs, the faster you start accruing points. But you have to do positive things. Win games, do positive things to get points. You don't get points for losing. You don't get points for getting your butt kicked. You get points for winning. I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. It's as good as any other idea I've ever heard. But the NFL needs to do something. And then the other thing is, right now, Major League Baseball has got to do something to make this free agency period interesting in some way. I know some of them have been, right? We've had off seasons that happen quick. We've had winter meetings where a lot of things happen. We've had some off seasons where the baseball thing moves a little bit quicker. But the last couple of years, especially with these Scott Boras clients over the last couple of years, it drags out forever. And these teams are waiting. Like right now, the New York Yankees, even the Mets on some level, but I really feel like the New York Yankees are specifically waiting for Bellinger to do something. And they're not going to do anything until he does. And he might not. It could go till February. Like, I have no idea. Right now, the New York Yankees don't want to spend any money in free agency. They're not going to do it for pitching. They're not going to do it for anything else. They want Bellinger and Bellinger alone in free agency. And they're right now, as reported by Jeff Passan, they are unwilling to move off what they deem is a fair contract for him. And apparently, so is every other team interested in him. So they want Bellinger back to play left field. And if they get that, I think they're going to immediately, quickly turn around and trade Spencer Jones and or Jason Dominguez for starting pitching or something else. I think that's what their offseason is. Their offseason plan right now for the New York Yankees is to sign Bellinger and then trade Dominguez and or Spencer Jones for starting pitching depth, bullpen, maybe arms in the back end, something. Something. But they can't do that because their plan in left field, if Bellinger doesn't come back, is to play Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez. So they can't make the other moves of the offseason until they know whether or not they can trade Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez. And so we're all waiting for Bellinger. Major League Baseball, over the last handful of years, has had these guys waiting forever. Tucker still hasn't signed. Like, the biggest free agent pieces are still sitting there. Framber Valdez, well, you know, a couple of pitchers have gone, but for the most part, this, like, the NFL offseason happens immediately. We know about it before NFL offseason even starts. They have got to come up with some way to incentivize these teams to make these moves at the deadline. It has to be done in December. We cannot continue to drag this thing out. There has to be, I heard Ken Rosenthal say that he's heard of discussion of a trade deadline in the offseason. That's an interesting proposition because the Yankees would not be able to wait to trade for a starting pitcher and wait for Bellinger if there was a trade deadline. So I heard that there's a trade deadline at the end of the winter meetings. You have through the winter meetings to make any trades. After that, strictly free agent signings. I think that could kind of get the ball rolling. I don't know. They have to come up with something because this Major League Baseball offseason, they came off the best damn postseason they have had in forever. The numbers were great. The games were great. Like, everything about this baseball is really building some momentum. I know, you know, Cam Newton thinks it's a falling sport, but, like, And you know, that the WNBA will be bigger than baseball in the next couple of years. But contrary to that opinion, baseball just had a really good playoff run. It's built up some momentum. There's interest in it. The viewership is through the roof. The Dodgers, Otani, Yamamoto. It's really becoming an international game. Like, the World Baseball Classic is coming up. There's some juice in that, whether you're into it or not. And, you know, now you have the pending fight in the CBA coming in a year from now, and the idea that this offseason has been dreadful. One, not a lot of great players, like the last couple with Otani and obviously oh my god, what's his name going to the Mets? Juan Soto. You ever think you'd forget Juan Soto's name? Juan Soto. Like, and so it's been a little lackluster as Kyle Tucker is the biggest name of this free agency, but they have got to do something. Both of these leagues need to figure out something. Figure out a way to incentivize these teams to win and never make your fan base root against their team the last couple weeks of the season. And Major League Baseball has to do something with the winter because it's just atrocious. It's just awful. It is so boring. You're waiting forever to find out what your team's going to look like or do. It's just brutal. 888-808-1019. So those are things that need to change in 2026. If you have any others, feel free to call. 888-808-1019. Steve in Naples, Florida. What's up, Steve?
Hey, listen, I get what you're saying, but you're walking a tightrope between rooting for your team to lose and then saying you're against tanking. And, you know, the draft is a crapshoot. Look at Abdul Carter. How's he turning out? know, Josh Allen didn't go number one. No. And I just want to say that the other day I'm listening to The Fan with my grandchildren in the car who are all involved in youth sports, and all it was incessant talk about gambling and tanking. Mm-hmm. It just sends a horrible message. It gives everyone a reason to doubt the integrity of the NFL. And for the life of me, I don't understand why anyone would gamble or bet on the NFL or spend money on tickets. You may as well buy World Wrestling Federation tickets at this rate. So I agree with you on the one hand.
It's not scripted.
I'm not saying it's scripted, but when you have hosts openly advocating for tanking and losing a game, come on.
It's what's best for the team. It's what's best for the team. That's what I want. That's what we should all want. What's best for the team.
It sends a message of dishonesty and a lack of integrity. I'm sorry.
It doesn't. Yeah. Dishonesty and integrity, I'm coming full out and saying it. I'm not hiding it. It's not behind the scenes. It's not some sort of secret. It's not dishonest. I am honestly saying they should lose. It's better for the team to lose. As a fan, no one is suggesting the players are playing to lose. No one is saying the players are out there losing on purpose. Maybe that's your misconception. No one is saying that. I am not rooting for the players on the field to fumble on purpose, incomplete a pass on purpose, miss a tackle on purpose, drop an interception on purpose. Nope. They should be out there playing their hardest and playing to win. But the organization can decide who's on the field. At this point in the season, the organization can decide who's on the field. And I can just tell you as a fan, I want what's best for the franchise, and what's best for the franchise is to lose. And I understand you talk about youth sports and, gambling. Gambling is a part of this. Gambling has always been a part of this. And it's a slippery slope, and of course. But that's up to you to it's up to us as parents to make sure our kids understand the dangers of things. That's just the truth of it all. It's up to us as parents to make sure we understand and make sure we allow our kids and help our kids understand the dangers of anything. And gambling certainly has its dangers. But as far as the tanking situation goes, it's not some sort of mischievous thing where we're, behind the scenes. Like, I am full out coming out and saying, honestly, the Giants are better off losing. All right? And, I don't think that plays in youth sports. This is different. This is not youth sports. We're talking about professionals. And I know right now, unfortunately, a lot of the talk has been how college is professional sports now. Right? Rick Pitino just said it. It's not the same game. Players are getting paid. Players are switching teams every single year in the transfer portal. Now you've got guys who have been in the draft. You've got guys who have played professional basketball re-entering into college. It's a different game. Things have changed. And unfortunately, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard about high school basketball and all these, the way things have, these travel teams and the money in it and, everything like that. Sports is a business. Unfortunately, sports is a business. And I can just tell you right now, in the business of being a Giant fan, forget everything else. Forget that I have a microphone. Forget that I'm the host here. Forget whatever else. I can tell you as a Giant fan, I don't want what's best for Sunday. I think it's short-sighted thinking. I don't care about Sunday anymore. The game doesn't matter. Why would I care about what's best for the franchise? I don't want them to be a loser anymore. And if you think that winning this meaningless game makes them less of a loser than getting better draft picks, then we just disagree. And I hope that explains it to any kids in the car. Kids, you should go out there and play your hearts out. Competition is good. Go out there and play to win every time you're on the field. But if you become a professional athlete, that you should do the same thing, but understand it's a business. And I want you to be good next year. I don't want you to be 4-14. I don't really care about being 4-13 as opposed to 3-14. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, Anthony?
How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to talk to you about the Yankees. They're a very dysfunctional organization. Now, you might say, well, how? Well, Steinbrenner and Cashman, how? He's an absentee owner. He's not putting his time into the team. He's letting Cashman be the owner. He's letting Cashman run the team, and Cashman's not doing a good job. When George was alive, and George was had a backbone to Cashman, and when George,
because they were never dysfunctional with George Steinbrenner. I mean, never. I mean, when he was hiring, you know, people to dig up dirt on his stars because he didn't like paying them, there was never any dysfunction there. Or when Mel Hall was bringing in live animals, live cougars, and taking 15-year-old girls to sport to team functions, there was never any dysfunction with the Yankees then. And when they were worst team in baseball in 1990 and 1991 and 1989, nope. That was, everything was hunky-dory.
They ended up winning 4 World Series in 5 years right after that.
Because he got banned. Because he got banned.
That's I guess you're right. But what is Hal doing?
But what makes you think he's not an absentee owner? He's allowing Brian Cashman, who has a track record of winning for 30 years, whether you disagree with that, well, first of all, you can't disagree with that. Whether you disagree, he's still doing a good job or not, that's fair. That's up for debate. They haven't won a championship in 15 years. Whether or not Brian Cashman is still doing a good job is without question a legitimate point if you want to make it. But he's allowing Brian Cashman, who he believes in, to run the franchise. Now, he stepped in when it looked like Aaron Judge was going to go to San Francisco. He stepped in and said, what do you need? I'll give you the extra year and $40 million if you want it. He did it. But he allows Brian Cashman to run the organization. Yeah, just like right now, David Cohen is allowing David Stearns to run the Mets. That's what typically is what happens. You pick someone to run your baseball operations, and you allow them to do it. How George did it a different way.
Cohen. At least you hear from, but at least you hear from Cohen. He shows his face.
Yeah, when he calls the entire fan base losers.
I mean,
he calls them idiots. Rather, excuse me. No, look. I mean, yeah. No, Hal, you're right. He doesn't speak that much. Not a lot of owners do. He speaks at the. He's not out in public. There's no doubt about it. He speaks occasionally, and when he did this year on the Zoom, it was an absolute joke. And he did a terrible job, and was what a terrible job of PR he had. Oh my God, talking about his bills and everything. Be the first one to admit it. Now, again, I would push back on dysfunctional. I don't think the Yankees are dysfunctional at all. I don't think they're dysfunctional at all. They have not done a good enough job. Hal hasn't been willing to spend that little bit extra to have a full, complete team. He's not like his father in that manner, where he's not going to just go out and spend a ton of money. But again, the George conversation is so dumb, in my opinion, especially if you're going to bring up dysfunction. I mean, if you're going to bring up dysfunction and then tell me, you know, George would have never allowed this. Like, George was pretty freaking dysfunctional. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know why we have this, like, mis... Like we for some reason we are unable to remember all we remember is the positive of George, where there was plenty. He's a great owner. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. I love George. But when you call up and say that there was only dysfunction, he hired the same manager 35 times, fired him 35 times. One of the great Yankees of all time, Yogi Berra, didn't want to step foot inside the building because he fired him 18 games into a season. He hired a private investigator to dig up dirt on his greatest player because he didn't like the contract he signed. Like, come on. I'm not even trying to knock George, but you can't call me up and say, how's dysfunctional if only his father was around? Like, I mean, are we losing it, people? Am I the only... And I wasn't even around back then, and I know this stuff. You want to tell me that they didn't try to win as much? Fine. You want to tell me his father would have spent more money? Fine. You want to tell me George would have fired Hal and Boone and you'd be happier? Fine. I don't know if winning necessarily would have accompanied it, but you're right. There is no chance in the world Brian Cashman would if George were the same age as his son right now and running it as a 40, 50-year-old man, there is no doubt in my mind Brian Cashman would have hit the road years ago. Aaron Boone would not be the manager in 8-9 years without a World Series championship. He'd be gone. There is no doubt, 100% accurate. That I agree with. Doesn't mean that they would have won, because you mentioned those championships built without him. Specifically without him. Like, that's the story of the building. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just a coincidence that it was built without him. Gene Stickmichael was allowed to operate without him, and that's why the team was built. And that's why Bernie Williams wasn't traded. And that's why Mariano Rivera wasn't traded. Because George wasn't around there, wasn't around to screw it up like he screwed up the end of the 80s and early 90s. When the fan base at Yankee Stadium applauded with a standing ovation the day he was banished. Now again, this is just me pushing back. That's not the complete story of George Steinbrenner. That's not. George was a great businessman who took over a poorly run Yankee team and within a couple of years built a championship. And he spent a ton of money and he cared very much about winning. And I am glad he bought the team. I am glad he ran the team. I love George. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great owner. But if you're going to call me up and tell me his son has allowed the team to become dysfunctional and he wouldn't have allowed it, I'm going to give you the pushback on everything I just said, because everything I just said was accurate. So I get it. We're not happy they haven't won. Doesn't mean we have to make stuff up. His son should go spend money instead of crying about paying bills. You want to say that to me? I'm right on board with you. Instead of crying about how much money he's given to the city, go out there and build a team that can win a championship. There you go. I'm with you. They're not dysfunctional. They're about as functional as operations go. They are the epitome of functional. We're just not happy with functional anymore. Nobody throws parades for functional. Nobody's sitting around going, oh my God, the New York Yankees, they're thankfully so functional. I mean, I will every once in a while, and I get killed for it. They're not dysfunctional. They're the opposite of dysfunctional. They just haven't built the best baseball team in the American League very much. And they haven't built the best baseball team in baseball in 15 years. They've been good enough to win. I'll still stand by that. They were good enough to win. Last year's team was good enough to win. They didn't. I believe that. I think that you could point to a bunch of teams. The 2024, the last 2 years, the Yankees have been good enough to win. They haven't. 2019, good enough to win. Didn't. 2018, good enough to win. Didn't. 2017, good enough to win, didn't. There's years mixed in there where they weren't good enough to win. 22, by the end of the season, not good enough to win. 23, clearly not. Even 2020, not good enough. But I think a lot of the years they are good enough to win, they just don't. Proof of losing is not proof of could not win. The undefeated Patriots guaranteed prove that as much as any team. Since we're talking about the Giants a lot here. But, like, dysfunctional? Yeah, I don't know about dysfunctional. You know what's dysfunctional? The New York Jets. That's dysfunctional. That's dysfunctional. When we're talking about, you know, I just saw Aaron Glenn is at it again. You know, Aaron Glenn is asked, I guess, today about, and don't get me wrong, I know I got, you know, one guy on Twitter very sensitive about knocking the Jets. Giants are dysfunctional, too. Our football teams are dysfunctional. But I just happened to see, again, Aaron Glenn talking to the media today and, you know, talking about the Jets and the positives of, you know, the way they've run the ball, the idea that they haven't had a field goal block this year. I mean, I don't know what happened, Aaron Glenn. The things he's banking on right now, running the football in the fourth quarter against the Jacksonville Jaguars down 41-13. That's what he's given you. That's what he mentioned the other day when asked about when have we seen Jets football the way you envision it? When the way we were running the ball at the fourth quarter, down 41-13 against the Jags. Now he's talking about they haven't had a field goal blocked. I mean, that's what he's hanging his hat on. He backed off the one thing that made sense. He called out his team. Call out your team. They deserve to be called out. And then he backs off it. Afraid of losing the team. And, you know, that speaks to a lot of things. It speaks to his ineptitude. It speaks to the team. It speaks to just the idea of players today and coaching today. We talk about it. We want this one to be a disciplinarian. Where's the accountability? Everyone's favorite word. Where's the accountability? Where's the accountability? You know what? Inside the organizations, they're afraid accountability leads to losing the team. And if this coach wants to hang on with the record they that he has, he better not lose the team. He better not have, you know, captains and leaders of that team going to the owner and saying, look, man, we don't believe in what this guy says anymore. He's lost the room. That's what gets you fired. So, was I critical? Did I say that, you know, nobody was, working real hard and I didn't like the effort? I'm sorry. You know what? I watched the film and I got to tell you, the way they were running on and off the field with real passion, real gusto. I take the effort back. The effort was fine. You should see them running on and off the field with crisp. There was no jogging. There was no heads down. They ran off and on the field with every bit the expectation I hold up for them. Like, this is what he's saying. Man, these football teams are just awful. Roscoe in Brooklyn. What's up, Roscoe?
Chris, I got a bone to pick. Please just hear me.
Okay.
I got two things. But the first thing is this whole Cody Bellinger thing. Talking like this guy, the next thing to the best in football. Hold on. Playoffs, homeboys are done. He didn't miss playoffs. What's so big about Cody? Number one.
Okay.
Number two, you sitting on these airways and you want team to lose, right?
Yeah.
Roscoe,
I'm sorry that I was trying to give you a chance because I didn't want to make it seem like the first person critical of me, especially the Yankee there, that I would hang up on him, but I couldn't understand you. Breaking up. Yes, I'm rooting for the team to lose. Yes, I mean, Cody Bellinger isn't a great player, but he's a good player. He's a very good player, and I want him back with the Yankees. He didn't perform in the playoffs last year. I understand. That doesn't mean he won't perform in next year's playoffs. Like, it's a small sample size. I know nobody wants to hear this. I know nobody wants to hear it. Whatever you've done in the playoffs for the Yankees in one game, you'll do for the rest of your life with them. That's how it goes. It's a small sample size. He had a little bit of a heel injury. He didn't perform in the postseason. If they get back there, hopefully he'll perform better. And again, just a reminder, if Aaron Judge performed in the World Series, maybe they'd have a championship. Dave in Jersey. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good,
I just wanted to comment on your point before about to change the way the draft works,
yes.
Seeding based on how many points you put up at the end. That's going to help good teams from tanking, but it's going to really mess over teams that are like really bad, like the Jets, that can't score. They'll get higher seeding. They'll get like 7th pick or 10th pick.
Yeah, but you have to go out there and continue to play well. You can't dismantle your roster. You got to keep putting out a decent product for your fans. You got to keep trying to win. You got to keep trying to score. Like, that's it. You know what? Tough.
Them bad teams forever be bad.
No, that's not
the
true.
The Jets always bad anyways, but
okay. How many teams were eliminated from the playoffs 2 weeks ago?
I don't know what the number. What's the number?
I mean, not many. A handful. So I mean, you got to understand the Jets are gonna have. If you're bad, you're gonna have an opportunity in games that other teams aren't gonna have. You could play 5 or 6 more games with the opportunity to score points towards the draft than other teams. You can't score any points. Can't win any games. Once you're eliminated from the playoffs, the Jets were eliminated from the playoffs 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. Teams were still in the playoff hunt up until this week. You're gonna have an opportunity to play 4 games when other teams can't.
The Chiefs and Lions will still put up more points a lot of times.
Well, I mean, the Lions weren't eliminated from the playoffs until last week.
And they could put up 40 points.
Well, you know what? Tough. It's a business. I mean, you got to go out there and put up points. You're going to have four games, and you're going to cry and say the Lions could put up 40 in one game, and I can't put up 40 in four? Be better. Be better. We can't have this tanking. We can't have rooting against the teams. We can't do it. I can't be a Giant fan playing the Cowboys, rooting for the Cowboys. I can't do it. It's not right. We need to figure out something. Tough. You know, be better. Be better. The Jets can put up points. Go put up points. Don't play Brady Quinn. Cook, excuse me. Don't play Cook. Put Tyrod Taylor out there and have a functioning offense. Go win. Go play. Sorry. And the bad teams are still going to get there first. The bad teams are going to have more games to accrue points. And I'm not saying it's just points. That could be part of it. It's wins. It's points. It's point differential. It's interceptions. It's touchdowns. It's field goals. I have no idea. Figure out whatever the point system is. You get a certain amount of points for every touchdown, a certain amount of points for every win, a certain amount of points for every defensive interception, sack. Like, it could be, it doesn't have to be just points. It could be anything. Figure out a way to incentivize good play down the stretch of seasons. Ben in Stamford. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Happy New Year. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. First of all, you should lose the weight to jump out of a plane. I did it in Arizona with my son. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
I was glad I did it. I would probably do it again, and I actually preferred the free fall to the once the chute came down, because then it's
sure.
Like you're just on a massive, huge Ferris wheel, which I hate. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, I got you.
The Giants, I don't even know what I want anymore. Like, win, lose, like, I can't even decide. They're just so awful. I have no, and now it sounds like Shane could come back. You know, and
Shane is coming back. Let me just tell you
now. Yeah.
I'm very confident Shane is coming back.
And then the other thing is like, for me, I wanted Marcus Freeman to be the guy, and so my offseason is already off to a terrible start because he's not coming.
Right.
You know, the other crazy thing is, and I don't know why this is, if someone handed you Mike McCarthy's resume without his name on it, people would be lining up for his services, and people, myself included, I just have no like confidence that he could be the guy. I don't know what it is, because he's won everywhere and won at a very high level, and so I just, again, no confidence in anything going forward with this team. So I don't know whether to root, to win or lose, or just to not watch and just let the chips fall where they may. But anyway, have a great New Year.
No, I understand that, because you're exhausted by it. So what the hell, I can't do this. I'm so tired of this. I'm so frustrated by this. I'll just watch the game, root for them to win, because that's what fans do. And I'll just let the chips fall where they may, because I have no faith in this team to do the right thing. I don't think that way. I understand you thinking like that. I really do. I can get the frustration. I want whatever advantage for this team, because I don't trust them, right? Exactly. The exact reason for you being disillusioned by them and not caring is the exact reason I want every stinking advantage they could find. I want them to have every advantage they could possibly have to get out of this. And to me, that's the easy way to go about it, is losing the football game. Now, yeah, Mike McCarthy, look, I agree. He's won a championship. He's won a championship. He's won a lot of games. Now, again, when you say his name, it's not just his name. It's the idea, the clock management, some of the failings in the postseason against teams that he was better than. He had one of the best quarterbacks in history, really. Aaron Rodgers, to me, at his prime, is really right there at the top of the list of the greatest to ever do it, and he didn't win enough with him. But yeah, I mean, he's a proven. They could do a hell of a lot worse. If it ends up being Mike McCarthy as the next head coach of the New York Giants, they could do a hell of a lot worse. I know I'm getting a winner. He is. He's a winner. I with this team and that quarterback, I would be pretty confident they win 9-10 games next year. I'd feel really good about that, because that's what he does with decent teams. Case in High Point. What's up, Case?
D-Mac, thanks for taking the call. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I got a question. Yeah, it's going to be a Jets comment and the coaching and just how terrible, nothing that you don't know, and all the words that you've used with Yankees are functional. Give me that, man. Give me functionality.
Yeah.
The Jets are just so putrid. Everybody in this area knows it. I'm a season ticket holder. It's like ridiculous. Caught up in the storm of the business, right? It's like how much the Joe B, how much of this can you take? But my question is, some of these coordinators that we've heard for, or Ben Johnson now with the Bears and stuff, when they're asking their pressers about hey, what's your identity of this team, and they use words like unity, communication, connection, and then with Aaron Glenn, it's stuff about being violent or our team violent. So you're backtracking on your own words in your own press conferences. Oh. That's dysfunction. He is spun around worse than what Dan Marino did to him. And I love the guy as a Jet. No,
that
I'm
was
serious.
A cheap shot.
No, it's not. It's not. It's the eye test. You know, Aaron Glenn's words are, I do know this. I can say this. Mm-hmm. We can say this as fans, bro. You're 3-13.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
No,
impressive.
I don't disagree with the case.
There's no quarterback. I get all that stuff. Yep. And so my question to you is, give me the Clay Kubiak. I'd even take Greg Roman. I'd take Mike McCarthy. I'd take another retread with Cliff Kingsbury. You know, build the quarterback. There's no way Aaron Glenn is building a franchise that is the New York Jets and turning this franchise around. He's not a quarterback whisperer. And I love the guy. Like, I was an Aaron Glenn. I have an Aaron Glenn jersey. It doesn't fit anymore. Yeah. And it's at what point do you go, hey, 1 year wonder, it's a bust. And this is ownership. You know, we talked about that. I love listening when you talk about Yankees and all the old George comments and stuff. It's look in the mirror, man. This franchise is one of the worst in all of sports of all time. Like, they lead the league in many of the wrong end of statistics.
No, there's no doubt.
And I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I appreciate it. It's frustrating. I totally agree with you on your point about him backtracking on words. I can't ever I can't remember. Now, again, it's been public with him, and it's been such a you know, 0-7 and so bad, and it's recent. So when I say this, you know, maybe it's an unfair statement, but I can't remember another coach backtracking on everything he's ever said like this. He backtracks on everything he's ever said. Like, I mean, literally, we are going to be a team this fan base will be proud of. And then when asked about that in the middle of their 0-7, well, I didn't mean right away. Like, that was the beginning where I was like, oh, my. I mean, he can't even just say, I know, we haven't done it yet. Like, I didn't mean right away. Like, come on. I mean, come on. I didn't mean we'll be a team you could be proud of right now. All of a sudden, that's when the big ships turn slow, start to come out. And, yeah, even up until today. I went through the whole laundry list of it yesterday, even up until today or yesterday now. You know, oh, yeah, no, the effort wasn't there. You know what? No, I watched the film for a second time. You know, he checked it twice like Santa. He checked it twice, watched the film for a second time, find out who's naughty or nice. And when it turned out, you know what? They were nice. They ran off and on the field, you know, pretty good. I was wrong. Mistake. I put them on the naughty list. I checked it twice, back on the good list. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He has backtracked on everything. They're going to build culture. They're going to, like, nothing he said came to fruition. Not a thing. And then even today he's talking, you know, Zach Rosenblatt put it out a couple hours ago when asked about the positives you could take from this season. Running the ball. I mean, okay. You think they ran the ball all that well? I know Breece Hall got 1,000 yards this year. The penalty improvement, special teams as a whole, which is fair. The special teams have been great this year. They have, you know, one of, if not the best special teams in football. That is fair. And then the field goal team. Glenn specifically highlighted how they haven't had any field goals blocked this season. Like, that's reaching. They haven't had any interceptions. They haven't had any field goal blocks, though. No one's talking about that one. I know the whole interception thing, but not a single field goal blocked. Look, I'm not saying he can't get better, but your point about this is going to be a huge offseason developing a young quarterback, picking a quarterback. He hasn't accomplished anything he set out. He wasn't this offensive guru. Clearly, he's a defensive coach. He's not an offensive genius. He's not a defensive genius. He was a culture-building leader of men coach kind of hire. He was going to come over and take this dysfunctional franchise, right? And that's the biggest of his, well, talking back, not the same old Jets. They were not. This is not going to be the same old Jets. He went from this is not going to be the same old Jets to, you know what? We didn't have a field goal block this entire season. That's very same old Jets. That's worse than the same old Jets. You can't point to anything. You're pointing to not having a field goal blocked. Running the way you ran the football down 41-13. The way you ran off and on the field getting blitzed by the Patriots. These are the moments where Jets were Jets. I mean, it's as bad as it gets. And right now, he picked Justin Fields. That was a disaster. They chose a quarterback who can't play. They didn't give him a game plan that made it conducive for him. And you're right, the identity of this team was supposed to be what? Smash mouth football, right? You said it, violent. And I know they don't have a lot of great defensive players right now, but they have completely let go of the rope. It's a disaster, and he's supposed to be trusted with being part of the team that ushers in and develops the franchise-leading quarterback? That's a tough ask, man. It's a tough ask. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. We still got you for 2 hours, 3 hours down, two more to go as we take you to 7 o'clock on this New Year's Eve. McMonagle here with you on The Fan in the afternoon. Be right back.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.